Today is June the 20th, 2005, and today we're talking with a gentleman up in Dracut, Massachusetts, name of Johnny Wedge. And Johnny's had a long and fruitful experience with square dancing, and we're anxious to find out a little bit more about his life experiences in square dancing. So, Johnny, why don't you start, tell me a little bit about where you were born and brought up, and a little bit about life before square dancing.
Okay, Bob. I was born and raised right here in Massachusetts in a little town called Chelsea, which borders Boston on the north. Stayed there right up through high school, and at which time I went into the Air Force.
Okay.
And stayed in the Air Force for a little better than 8 years, about 8 years and 3 months in the active Air Force.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
What were those years, Johnny?
I went into the Air Force in June of 1957 and got my honorable discharge in August of 1965.
Okay. So, what was your function in the Air Force?
Administration.
Okay.
Air Force administration.
Good. All right. So, you say you went to local schools there.
Yeah, I went to mostly all parochial schools, Roman Catholic schools.
Uh-huh.
8 years in Chelsea and then 4 years in the city of Lynn, Massachusetts.
Oh, yes.
High school, a parochial high school.
Okay, so that's all eastern Massachusetts.
Yep.
Yeah. So, tell us a little bit, where did you first get exposed to square dancing?
In the Air Force.
Did you really?
Yeah, in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
I'll tell you this little story. Worked in an office, it was probably about 1958, the beginning of 1959, and there was a sergeant there, his name was Sergeant Freeman Saddlemeyer, and Freeman was a square dance caller, and he had talked to me about joining a square dance class, and he said he had a single girl there, and she really needed a partner. But being a young 19, 20-year-old Air Force guy, I looked at him like he was crazy.
Right.
You know, square dancing, that's for square dancing. There's no way I'm going square dancing.
Right.
And a week later, I think it was, I was on my way back to the base after being out somewhere, probably drinking some beer someplace, and I got a blowout, and I didn't have a flat tire. I didn't have a spare tire, excuse me. And who happens to come along but Freeman Saddlemeyer? And he saw me, and he stopped. And,
I'm sorry, who was that again?
Freeman Saddlemeyer, the square dance caller.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he saw me, and he stopped, and he happened to have a spare tire that was the same size wheel as my tires, and he loaned it to me and helped me jack it up and change it. And then he said, I told him I appreciated it, if I'd like to pay him back. And he said, well, you can. I'd like you to come to that square dance class. He said, but just to the first one or two, Johnny. Because he said, I need a partner for this woman, and then after that, we won't need you anymore. Well, certainly I could pay him back that favor, and so I did it. And after the second week, I kind of liked it.
Right.
And I went to Freeman and said, Freeman, I like this. I'm going to keep coming. And he said, oh, no, you can't, no. We have no room for you now. He said, I just wanted you for 2 weeks. And then after he saw the disappointed look on my face, said, I'm just kidding with you. He said, come on down. So that's how I began. That was in San Antonio, Texas, as I say, I think. I went in the Air Force in 57. I went to San Antonio right after Christmas of 58. So it was probably around August or September of 1958.
Okay. So did you dance with any other callers around Texas?
Oh, yeah. We used to bring in Johnny LeClair, C.O. Guest, Marshall Flippo. We had Ed Gilmore there a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
Oh, John Jones, I remember calling for us.
Yeah, well, of course, he lives in Texas.
Yeah, but my club caller and original teacher was Freeman Saddlemeyer. And
okay.
As far as I know, he's still alive.
Uh-huh.
When the convention was in San Antonio, the Caller Lab convention, I talked to a couple of fellows that knew him. So
well,
he's retired, no longer active in square dance calling, but they knew him, and he still lived in San Antonio.
Well, good. Well, that was quite an experience. Well, then, when did you move back to Massachusetts?
Well, I was transferred to an Air Force base in Lexington, Massachusetts, in 1962.
Okay.
And And actually, since it was so close to my home of Chelsea, Massachusetts, I actually lived at home with my parents.
Yeah.
And commuted back and forth. And at that time, but before that time, before I left Texas, I went to college school, a school run by Marshall Flippo and C.O. Guest.
Oh, yes. And that was where?
Well, you know, I was in San Antonio, Texas, but the school was held in some town south of San Antonio. It may have been San Angelo, Texas.
Okay, well.
I really am not positive where it was, but it was definitely in Texas. It was right in the vicinity of San Antonio.
Yes, right.
And it was an excellent school. It was a week-long school. It was held at a resort of some sort. You had a book for the whole week.
Great.
And, I really enjoyed that. And then, as I say, I didn't do any major amount of calling in Texas. I did a little guest singing call dip here or there, but that
sure.
was about it. And then came here to Massachusetts in January, February of 62, and I started a square dance class in my local hometown of Chelsea, Massachusetts.
Right.
That was called the Friendly Folks of Chelsea, Massachusetts.
Friendly Folks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And so what developed out of that?
Well, I kept that club and until 1964, and in September of 1964, the Air Force told me they were transferring me back to Texas again,
uh-huh.
this time to Amarillo, Texas. And I was at the time dating a woman whose company I very much enjoyed, Barbara. And so I asked her to marry me and go to Texas with me. And
there you go.
She did, and we're married 41 years this year.
Great.
And so we went to Amarillo, and I joined a club there called the Dandy Dancers.
Okay.
Their club caller was Tex Hensling, a DJ Hensling. You may know the name. He's passed away since, but he was a well-known caller, very active in the Overseas Callers Association.
Uh-huh.
I didn't ever become their club caller, but I was there, and he would have me call tips here and there. But
sure.
And then in 1965, it came time for my discharge, and my wife and I came back to Massachusetts.
Okay. And you got right back into square dancing?
Not immediately. The club that I had left, the Friendly Folks of Chelsea, of course, had gotten another caller, and I didn't want to push him out.
Sure.
But I did go dancing with them, did call some tips. But it was actually 1969 when I formed a club in Billerica, Massachusetts. That's where my wife and I were then living.
Oh, yes.
Called the Shufflin' Shoes of Billerica.
Uh-huh.
That became a very successful club. We kept that club until about 1990, I think, and it folded
right.
in somewhere around 1990.
Right. Well, Billerica, that's the hometown of Tony Parks.
That's right. Tony and Beth lived in Billerica.
Right. Yeah, I interviewed him there, as a matter of fact. Stayed overnight with him.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Wow. But which brings up the point, did you ever get into that style of dancing at all, the contra dances and so forth?
No, I've done some, a little bit.
Yeah.
But not as a caller, no, not at
right.
all. Not at all. When I do fun nights, one-night stands for
sure.
non-square dancing people, I may do a Virginia reel or something, but
yes.
other than that, no.
Right. Well, okay, well, going back a little bit, who do you consider your mentors?
Oh, Marshall Flippo and C.O. Guest. no doubt about it.
Yes.
Marshall Flippo especially. Marshall Flippo is my... And your brother Al.
Okay.
Earl Johnston.
Yeah.
Those
Did you ever go to their school?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Never went to school again after my original school.
Sure.
Went to every NECA clinic that was ever held.
Uh-huh.
That is, once I get back up here in 1969.
Okay.
I consider every one of them a school.
Right.
Because they're all... I had an interest. Another mentor, I may say, would probably be Ed Gilmore.
Yes.
When I was in Amarillo, he called for our club, and he stayed at the home of the caller there, of Tex Hensling. And Tex and his wife asked me to come to their house that night after the dance.
Yes.
And Ed Gilmore was just an unbelievable man. We stayed up till 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning.
And you drank coffee.
Oh, no. Yeah, we drank coffee.
And you inhaled a lot of smoke.
Yeah, well, I was one of them, too. I was a smoker at the time.
Right.
And as I recall, I was a beer drinker, but as I recall, Ed Gilmour was Scotch.
Yes.
I think, yes.
Uh-huh.
But I was drinking beer. He and Tex Hensling wrote a singing call to the tune See the USA in Your Chevrolet.
Oh, yes.
And they worked on the figure, and then Tex said, well, let's work on the opener and the break, and Ed Gilmour said, let's let the kid, he was calling me the kid, let's let the kid do it.
Okay.
And I did it. I mean, just a simple Four Ladies Chain, roll away,
yeah.
Alabama, if we agree. Hey, that's great. We'll use that. He was a real gentleman. I liked it so much.
Great. And then Ed recorded it, did he?
I don't know. I don't know if they ever, I never saw it. I never saw it come out.
Well, probably maybe C.O. Gist did.
It may be. I never saw it come out, but he and Tex Hensling worked on it together.
Uh-huh.
And he did tell me, by the way, your name won't be on the jacket. I said, oh, no, that's going to be all right.
For you. Right. Okay. Well, I noticed that you are a member of the Tri-State Callers Association.
Yes, I joined Tri-State probably around 1972.
Okay.
But at the time, my Bill Ricker Club, the Shuffling Shoes of Bill Ricker, was a Sunday club, so I wasn't taking a real active part in caller associations because everything is done on Sundays.
Right.
But that changed around 1976, then I became very active with my association.
Yeah. You know, can you tell me a little bit about the formation and the background of the Tri-State? I think Jim Mayo was, wasn't he instrumental in getting that organization started?
Jim Mayo, Joe Casey.
Casey, yeah.
Tom Potts.
Yes.
And there was one other name I can't remember that were very instrumental in getting that association started.
Yes.
I've seen the history of it. I wish I had a copy of it here in front of you, but I don't. But it was those, it was four or five. Oh, Tom Noonan was another name.
Oh, yeah.
That's the other name I was trying to remember. I think those five were very, very active in creating that association. I believe Ed Ross Smith was also a charter member.
Oh, yes. And the three states were what?
Massachusetts, the east coast of New Hampshire, and southern Maine.
Oh, yes, okay. I was trying to pinpoint the geographic area there. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. But,
actually, I shouldn't even say Massachusetts. I should say northeastern Massachusetts.
North of Boston.
Because we have three other associations in Massachusetts.
Yeah, well, Tri-State was... what. That wasn't north of Boston, isn't there, callers?
Well, no, there is an association called North of Boston. North of Boston, now, I'm not sure of its origin, but right now, North of Boston is pretty much an association of traditional and contra callers.
I see, okay.
Mill Dixon is kind of the secretary. For years, Tony and Beth Parks belonged to it, Ted Sinella belonged to it.
Right.
Walter Lank and a few other traditional callers.
Right.
Now it's down to just, I think, four members.
Yeah. Had you any affiliation with the New England Folk Festival?
No.
People?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, it's quite interesting. Jim and Joanne Mayo just went this year to it.
Yes.
Telling us quite a bit about it and what it was like.
Yeah.
Ran into a couple, I guess, some of the old-time traditionals there. And, Laughlin was one of the names, I think, of...
right.
Laughlin.
Dudley, yeah.
Dudley Laughlin, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you knew, but I was on a board of directors of the New England Folk Festival Association back in the 50s.
Oh, my goodness.
That's when I lived in Massachusetts and worked at the university. But, so you said you never went to any other caller schools. But how about things like festivals and...
Well, I was privileged to be hired to do the Saudi Arabian National Jamboree.
There you go.
1976. There'd been a couple that had been in our Square Dance Club in Billerica, and he worked for some engineering firm. And he moved, he was transferred to Saudi Arabia to work for Aramco, the Arabic American Oil Company. And they used to correspond with me. And sometimes I'd send them tapes of our workshops. And one time in a letter to me, they said, how would you like to come here and call our jamboree? And I took it as a joke.
Yeah.
And I wrote back to them and said, sure, send me an airline ticket and I'm on my way. And then one day I received this thing in the mail from the Aramco in somewhere in Dallas, Texas. I had no idea what that was. I was almost blew away when I was opening it. And I opened it up, and it was a contract.
I'll be darned.
And because it was Saudi Arabia, because you just don't go there on vacation,
yeah,
it stated that I was going there as a consultant. That's all it said on the contract.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it was really nice. I went into Athens, Greece first, met the Square Dance Club there, and called two or three nights in Athens. And then did 7 days in Saudi Arabia. Traveled all over the country.
I'll be darned.
Aramco aircraft, a little 6 and 8 passenger aircraft.
Right.
Called every single day. I was there some days 2 and 3 times in the same day. And then when I came back, I landed in Germany for one night at Frankfurt, Germany. And at the time, I was still in the... I totally got out of the Air Force in 65. I failed to mention that in 1974, I went into the Air National Guard for 12 years. For 6 years.
Right.
So I was in the Air National Guard at the time and had ID, and I went to the Air Force base there. And
right.
Turned out to be the night the club was dancing, so I ended up getting there and calling a few tips there. It was a very enjoyable trip. I always joke when people ask me what my scope of travel is for calling, and I say strictly the New England area and Saudi Arabia.
That's it. That's great. Well, that was really quite an experience.
It was.
Yeah.
You know, well, let me tell you what happened. It kind of just happened to book me, and I don't think I was their first choice, but they had Lee Kottman booked. And then suddenly somebody realized Lee Kottman's Jewish.
Uh-huh.
And they can't have a Jewish person go to Saudi Arabia. And they said, oh, we got a big problem. Lee Kottman can't come to Saudi Arabia. And so this couple said, well, our club caller, he's really good, and we enjoy dancing with him. And they said, well, try him. And that's how I ended up getting it.
Well, that's really great. No, I never realized that, Johnny. I'm real happy for you.
It was a wonderful experience.
I'm sure, yeah.
I still, on occasion, will be doing a dance locally somewhere here in New England. Someone will come up and say, remember me? And I'll say, no. I was in Saudi Arabia working for Aramco when you were there calling. Oh, well, wow.
There you go. how about festivals around locally in Massachusetts?
Well, the New England Square Dance Convention.
Sure.
I've been doing that since, 1969, I guess, and I haven't missed one since.
Yes.
I've called once at the Connecticut Festival.
Uh-huh.
One time in Vermont at the Snowflake Ball, I guess it's called, or something like that.
Oh, the Falling Leaves?
The Falling Leaves Festival.
Right,
I called
yeah.
there once as a guest caller.
Yeah, how about nationals?
No, I went to one national, Baltimore, Maryland. Not the last Baltimore, the one before that. Don't ask me the year. By God, I could never remember. 84, maybe?
You're probably around there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to that one, and I enjoyed it.
Sure.
It really humbled me, because as a New England convention, I'm pretty well known throughout New England. I'm not bragging, but people at least know my name.
Right.
So at the New England convention, I walk in a hall, and I may hear a voice somewhere say, oh, look at Johnny Wedge. Or someone, hi, Johnny.
Yeah.
I went to Baltimore, Maryland. There wasn't a soul in the world ever heard of Johnny Wedge.
Yeah, well, you're like me when I moved to Albuquerque. I got out here and nobody knew, never even heard of the Brundage family.
Wow, I just thought it amazing that I would have thought all 50 states had heard of the Brundage family.
Well, but anyway, how about, you mentioned Caller Lab. You've been a member there?
Yeah, I joined Caller Lab, I think 1982.
Uh-huh.
I've been to, I believe, 10 conventions.
Good.
I've never held office. I've been on committees, but never been a chairman or a vice chairman of any committee.
Right.
But I like to keep active, keep my hand in it. I consider myself a personal friend of the past executive secretary, John Carlton-Dollar.
Oh, yes.
We've met with John many times. I've been to dinner with him. They've been to dinner with us. So I do enjoy John and Freddie's company.
Right. Have you done any square dance weekends?
Yeah, I did a weekend at East Hill Farm, which I'm sure you remember East Hill Farm, in Troy, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I started it in 1970 and just did my last year in 2004.
There you go.
So it was 34 years I had run it.
Yeah, that's great.
And,
who's on your staff there?
I've had different callers. It started with, do you remember Charlie Tilly?
No.
He was an old New England caller from Lynn, Massachusetts. But then after him, there was the late John Chadwick. And then I had Dick Steele for a few years.
Oh, yes.
And then Paul King was the last caller with me.
Uh-huh.
And my cure was Frank and Barbara Strong from Linfield, Mass.
From Winfield?
Linfield.
Linfield, yeah. Okay. Well, you've certainly had a lot of experience calling. What did you find appealing about calling? What turned you on about calling?
The very first thing that turned me on was when my class teacher would tell us to do these various moves, and suddenly would say, and there's your corner, and by God, there was my corner. And that fascinated me. And I wanted to know how he did that, and I asked him, and he said, well, you have to go to school, and it's caller school if you want to learn that. And so really, it was just what I didn't want to become a caller. I really had, I seriously had no intention of becoming a square dance caller.
Right.
I just wanted to know more of the mechanics of it.
Wanted
to know how they did that, how they just call the stuff and then suddenly say, there's the corner, and there was the corner. And so I went to caller school to learn. I never did learn. I still don't know today how they do it, but anyway.
You are not a sight caller, I take it, then.
I am. No, I'm a 100% sight caller.
Oh, are you?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I have a lot of modules in my
brain, yes,
you know, and equivalents and whatnot, but my calling is 99% sight calling.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you consider yourself a singing caller?
I did. My voice has been affected over the past 4 or 5 years, but I think I had a very good voice. Very good singing voice.
Uh-huh.
Never did do any recordings. I never did a recording. I was tempted to a couple of times, but...
Yeah, well, that was another question I had for you.
Yeah, but I was complimented. One of the compliments I receive a lot at the end of a dance, and I'll discuss it with Jim Mayo, and I say, you know, I think it's a great compliment. I very seldom hear fascinating choreography and that kind of thing, but I hear great music. I love your music.
Uh-huh.
And because I love music. I play a piano, I play a guitar.
Yeah.
And I do love music, and I like to choose music that I think is really danceable.
Uh-huh.
I do get that compliment a lot. I love your music.
Well, are you in favor of the trend today, at least out here in Albuquerque, that people are trying to go for rock and roll and...
Alternate patter, I think we call it here. Am I in favor of it? I'm in favor of it for the people who are doing it and doing a good job with it. It's not for me.
I see.
I like the traditional.
Yeah.
Some of my singing calls are rock and roll. There are rock and roll beats to them.
Yes. Well, I'm thinking of the patter calls.
The patter, right, yeah. We just had a session at Tri-State College Association on alternate square dance music, and it was four patter. And Ted Lazotte, and I think a couple of the younger guys showed us using... And they did a good job with it, but it's not for me.
Yeah, it would not be for me either, I'll tell you, Johnny. But, you know, well, we're talking a couple old-timers here, right?
Yeah, well, as you know, Bob, if I tell you, one of the problems with our square dancing today is all of our square dancers are old-timers.
Right.
And maybe we need this alternate music thing to try to draw the young crowd. I don't know. If it'll do it, if it'll draw them, I say, hey, do anything.
That's right.
You know, roll your pants up to your knees. Anything if it'll draw a younger crowd.
Right. Well, one of the things I want to talk to you about, I know you've been active in the co-op committee. So tell us a little bit about your experience there.
I think I became active with co-op probably around 1986, 87 as a delegate from NECA to co-op. And last year, I was appointed by the NECA chairman as the chairman of co-op.
Okay.
So I'm currently the chairman of co-op. I'm in my second year now as chairman of co-op. And generally, chairman of co-op stays until the person is ready to quit or something drastically wrong and is thrown out. But I know Joe Casey was chairman of co-op for, oh my gosh, I guess 15 to 20 years.
Well, I think we should mention that co-op is a committee that composed of the New England Council of Callers Associations, the Round Dance Callers Cures Association, and the Dancers Association, NECA, NOAA.
NECA, NACORDA, and EDSARA. Those are the
right.
three organizations.
Yes, right.
Callers, Cures, and Dancers. Yep.
So, well, as chairman, what are your ambitions? You just carry on what you've been doing.
Pretty much that. I mean, what I would love to see is and we're trying to go that way, is more and more leaning toward publicity, leaning toward getting the word out that square dancing exists, retention, recruitment, and then not only recruitment, but retention.
Yes.
It's just an ongoing thing.
Right. Are you working with this group called Arts?
Well, I'm very, very closely associated with them. I talk on occasion with some of the people there.
Jim Masco.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of a caller. Oh my goodness, sir, will get old. I can't remember his name now. He was one of the callers on the original committee.
Oh yes.
As a matter of fact, he was chairman of Caller Lab at the time.
Oh.
Goodness, it's terrible.
Oh, Herb Eggender? No.
No. Herb, I don't think Herb was ever chairman of Caller Lab. Was he?
No, he was. That's right. Yes, you're right. Okay, well.
Mike Jacobs.
Oh, yes, okay. Now you're with him.
He was on the original committee from Caller Lab.
Right.
I talked to Mike on occasion, and I know Betsy Garda was very much involved with the arts also.
Yes. Okay. Well. I'm just checking this tape. I got a couple more questions I wanted to ask you. The tape is getting down near the end. Why don't we take a breather for a second? Let me shut it off and turn the tape over and start again.
Go right ahead.
Okay?
Enjoy Nicole.
Hold on. Okay, we'll turn the tape over right where it ended and start all over again. So a couple more questions I wanted to ask you. I've been asking most of the other people I've interviewed, and you know I've interviewed a lot.
Yeah, I was with Joe Casey just a couple of days ago, and he took out this big stack of papers. He said, here's my interview. I didn't read it, but he said,
There you go. So do you have any regrets? Have you... anything you wished you'd done differently in your experience?
That's a very interesting question. I got to answer no. No, not really. I'm very pleased with everything I've done. I never pushed myself to go any further than a local New England caller. I have no desire to call nationally. As I said, I only went to one national convention. No, I really have no regrets. I'm very, very pleased with everything I've done.
Well, that's great. That seems to be pretty much the reply I get. And so the only other thing that I asked was, where do you think square dancing has been, and where is it now, and where do you think it may be going?
Well, certainly somewhere between the early 50s up to the late 60s, maybe 1970, it was really in its heyday. We were drawing people like crazy. We were running 6 and 7 square beginners classes. And if our retention was only 1/3 of that, we were still keeping 2 squares to add to our club membership.
Right.
Now, if we're lucky, we're graduating a class. And if our retention is 2/3, we're keeping 1 to 2 couples to add to our club membership. And, of course, because our club membership are all people over 65 years old, we're losing them as we go.
Right.
So where it was a great heyday. Where it is today is not healthy.
Yeah.
I see that it needs a total revamping. We need to offer to our customers, to the public, a program that they don't have to commit heavily to. I think today's generation doesn't want to commit. I don't know if you had an opportunity to read a book called Bowling Alone.
Yeah, well, I know I've read all Jim Mayo's ideas about that, and you're right, yes.
You know, it's in bowling alone, the final theory is that bowling is as healthy as it's ever been, but there are no more bowling leagues, or very little.
Yeah.
Which means people are bowling alone. They're not joining leagues.
Right.
And it's the same with, as you say, you read it, with all organizations, Move Souths, KSC, Masons. So I think we have to offer a program that says you can come down, have a lot of fun, and if you can't make it next week, don't worry about it. Maybe 20, 25 basics. It may be in a total revamping, but that's a hard thing to do with today's current square dancers because they spent all the time getting to where they are and they don't want to regress
right.
back to that. And I can understand that. So
sure.
it has to be a totally separate program or it has to just totally die and then get restarted again.
Right. Well, I don't know. Do you think that the club program as we know it today will eventually just disappear?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I think the club program is the here in our area. I was booked every Saturday night. Not 52 a year, but by my own choice, I cut myself back during the summer.
Yes.
Now, but I can name within 50 miles of my home 20 clubs that are folded.
Yes.
And so that's 20 Saturday nights that went away.
Right.
And I think the other clubs that haven't folded are all heading that way. Every one of them are.
Yes.
You know, they're drawing 3-4 squares. They're dying at workshops and not having beginner's classes.
Right. Well, is anybody making an attempt to do any kind of a 25 basic program?
Not that I've seen in our area. We do have three, guess from what they tell us, fairly successful multi-cycle programs running.
Okay.
Chris Pinkham was running a multi-cycle program with a club in Danvers, Massachusetts, and having fairly good success with it. And I guess there's one in Connecticut with Randy Page.
Okay.
I heard of one down on Cape Cod, and I think there's one in the Hampshire, in Maine.
Okay.
But it's still, that's still the same program. That's still the same Collar Lab, Mainstream Plus program.
Right.
And I really believe that the success of square dancing is going to be a whole different thing than we know today.
Right. Well, do you think it'll be patterned after what the contra dancers are doing now? I'm in contact with a lot of contra dance callers and programs up in the, especially in the New England area, and they're all very successful. But it's walk-in, no costume, that type of thing, you know?
That's right. That's what I see. Yes, it may be patented close to that. It may not be as much contra. It's still squares.
Yeah.
At least I would like to see it still be squares.
Yes.
But just some very simple stuff. People would be able to come in off the street, and with just a little bit of coaching, 5 or 10 minutes of coaching, they'll be in dancing, wear anything you want.
Right.
I've been fighting for relaxing the dress code. The New England Convention still has a statement in there about proper attire, although it doesn't ever say what proper attire is.
Yeah, right. Okay. And then, well, that's usually the evening dances, too. I think they're a little not quite as restrictive during the day, probably.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
In most clubs, if they're workshops and classes, they're not restrictive at all.
Yeah.
People just come. Matter of fact, when I go do the local workshops for my club, I don't even wear square dance attire.
Right.
I do believe, though, that square dance callers should be properly attired because they're paid, they are the paid professionals, and we are, let's face it, entertainers.
Right.
And I hate to see us become entertainers like the current rock and roll entertainers.
Right.
Who are on the stage in shirts, sometimes not even a shirt.
Yeah.
And old, dirty-looking jeans.
Yeah.
That I'm against. I think square dance callers should be properly attired, neckwear. I usually wear a jacket, a suit jacket. I don't think that's necessary, but nice clothes.
I'm with you 100%. So, well, getting away from square dancing for a minute, do you have any other hobbies?
Actually, no. Square dancing is my only hobby. I was very, very active with the Boy Scouts of America for many years.
Good for you.
I was a scout master, then I was on the district level as a district commissioner.
Uh-huh.
Did that in San Antonio, did that in Amarillo, and back at my home in Chelsea. But no, I have no other hobbies. We do.
You don't play golf or fish or.
No, well, I like to fish. I just don't seem to have to find the time. But now that I'm retired and we're spending a lot of time up at York Beach, Maine, I do go fishing with Bob Silver. Bob Silver is an adamant fisherman.
Uh-huh.
He loves to go fishing. He goes fishing 4 or 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And I generally try to go one day.
Well, and you like to play cards with Jim and Bob, right?
Play a lot of cards.
Yeah. You are playing for money now, are you?
Is anyone listening? We play like a quarter a game.
Do you? Okay. All right. So you don't plan to retire on your winnings then?
It would be pretty tough.
Well, I know you've lived a long, happy life with Barbara, and we don't want to get away from. She's an integral part of your activity over the years, I'm sure.
She certainly is. Yeah, I did start my calling before I met her, but matter of fact, we always joke that she never officially graduated from a square dance beginner's
class. There you go. Okay.
Just kind of got pulled through, and now she's an excellent dancer. We dance, the highest level we dance is Advance 1, A1.
There you go. How about, do you round dance?
Yes, we round dance quite a lot.
Phase 4?
That's about it, yeah. 4 is about the highest we go.
Yeah, okay, well, that's great. Well, I'm really glad you're still active. And how old are you now, Johnny?
26.
26, that's close.
65 this year, Bob.
There you go, okay. Well, this has been a lot of fun, and unless you think of anything else, that you'd like to add, anything I've forgotten to ask you about?
No, Bob, it has been my pleasure. I'm honored that you called and asked me to be one of your interviewees.
Well, I know you've made a big contribution to the activity in the New England area, and as you probably know, I've been concentrating my efforts in with this little project and trying to get the history of people who have made a significant contribution in the New England area and get it to the foundation. So, which reminds me, you're probably very active with them too, aren't you?
Actually, no. I'm a member. I go to the annual meetings.
Yeah.
I have been on a couple of work.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you've done a little volunteering.
Yeah, I've done a couple of work teams.
Yeah.
But I probably could be more active than I am.
Oh, well.
I'm very active in my local church.
There you go. That's great.
I do stuff with my local church.
Sure. Well, Johnny, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me this evening. And when I get this transcribed, I'll send you a copy of it.
Well, Bob, that'd be great.
And look forward. If you think of anything else, so I drop me an email. You got my address. If you think of anything else you'd like to have included, that often happens with some of the people I interview, so don't hesitate to add anything. You say, oh, gosh, I was going to mention this or that. So just drop me a line.
I will do, Bob.
And I'll be, if I have any questions about spelling and so forth, I'll drop you a line.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
Take care of yourself, and it's been nice talking with you.
Right. Say hello to Barbara.
Will do, Bob.
All right. Bye-bye.